saving money on everything you need at Menards. Your roof is the first line of defense against the elements, and it enhances the appearance of your home's exterior. Owens Corning Duration Shingles offer ultimate protection. Choose from 26 stylish colors and transform your home today. Shop our selection of roofing products on Menards.com. Plus, check out our weekly flyer for all the great deals happening now. Save big money
at Menards. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, they did not go out looking for a ghost that night. They just walked into an old bar near Bourbon Street and both left with the same unsettling question. Who had been standing right behind them?
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
Hey there, how are you? Thank you so much for listening. And you know, if you have a real ghost story, we like to hear them. So if you want to leave us a voicemail, call 855-853-4802. And you can also write it down. Just go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And a way you can support this show is by becoming a premium subscriber. No commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. And you could sign up through Apple Podcasts or patreon.com/realghoststories. I'm Carol Hughes, and Kathy Gordon is my sister joining me tonight.
I am. And you know what? I'm going to be joining you for real pretty soon. I'm coming to Wichita.
Oh, I know. See, I have mixed feelings because I'm excited that Kathy is coming. But the reason she's coming is because I'm getting another new hip. And I'm like, but man, I'll be like running around and jumping up and down.
Let's get this thing done.
I'm excited that you're coming to town. That's all good. But she gets here.
LFG.
She gets here Sunday afternoon, and I have surgery Monday morning. And so it's like, as soon as you get here, shit gets real.
And then we do that for about 10 days, and then I come back and get ready for a new baby here.
I know. That's exciting. That's really
exciting. Crazy. We got all kinds of stuff.
You get ready for the new baby, and I will be baby in the new hip.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, you take it easy for a little while on that.
You know, and I had it done once before, and it's funny because it's like, people just say the weirdest things when instead of like, oh, you're getting a new hip. That sucks. That to me is an appropriate thing to say. Like if someone was having surgery, acknowledge the level, like whatever it is, that really sucks. You know, just acknowledge it. But people will go, I hear that's not near as bad as the knee.
You know, here's the thing. What I don't understand is like when it comes to a hip, they say, oh, that's not so bad. Well, it is. They completely took the joint out. They put a brand new one in. You got to learn how to walk with it again, right? It takes, and everybody is different.
It is a medical marvel.
And yet what's weird to me is if you're pregnant, they come up and tell you how bad it is. Oh my God, when I had a baby, it was the worst thing
ever.
True. I'm like, just standing there staring at him like, what?
Well, it is like, I guess people are trying to say, well, it could be worse. You could be getting the knee. And I'm like, okay, getting a new hip ain't fun. I've had it done. It was not fun. It was rather difficult. So we'll
see. But if you
have
a baby, on the other hand, they act like, oh, don't worry about it. Mine was worse than anybody's ever. So you won't be that
bad. In the history of all women who ever had children,
babies.
I'm in the top 1% of worst deliveries.
Really? Because there's those women that went out on the prairie and had a baby by the river. Come on.
And, And they popped out a baby by the river and they continued picking whatever grain or whatever they were harvesting that day. She still went back to the cabin and made a meal for the farmhands working with a baby on her hip.
She had to clean up the baby.
While she was cooking the potatoes.
Was it worse than anybody ever?
I don't know. But all I know is, like, I would just rather have somebody go, God, that sucks. I'm like, yeah, let's have a conversation.
You know, I have a little sympathy here. Yeah. You know?
And I don't even want much. Just acknowledgement. This sucks. Yeah. Let's go from there.
Let's, yeah. Well,
but it's funny because the closer it gets to it, I'm starting to remember things that I had forgotten about. Like, sucked. Oh, I have to sleep on my back for 6 weeks. That sucks. Because I'm not used. That's my cat in the background, by the way. Nothing paranormal going on. But, you know, it's like, I don't just sleep on my back. I sleep on my back, both sides and my stomach. Mm-hmm. So it's really hard for me to just lay on my back. So,
well, you did used to that. Really well last time. It may not feel like it, but you actually were a real trooper. But it takes some time. It does. And we were, you know, we had to be slow about doing things. And I you know, yeah, maybe some people bounce back after a week. Some people it's 6-8 weeks. Some people it's, you know. But I think in the long run, in the big picture, at least the one thing you have going for you this time is it'll be tough. But you know that it really did help the other one.
Oh, God, yeah. It really right? did. Yeah.
Because I think there was a little while there, you look at me and you go, I don't know, I should have done this.
Oh, for 3 months, right? I was questioning why it did
right?
it.
But you know, like, if you can just keep going, that there is light at the end of that tunnel.
There's something very humbling about it as well. It's like when you're out there with a walker. And you're like, I got to get some steps in. And the neighbors are going, you're doing good, Carol. Keep going. Me and my walker. It's like, you don't have any choice. I mean, like, I had to go get a walker and a cane for this. So
yeah,
we'll see how it goes. Know. We'll see how it goes. Yeah. Let's talk about this New Orleans ghost story.
New Orleans.
Says, a few years ago, my wife and I took a trip to New Orleans for our anniversary. It wasn't our first time there. So we weren't trying to hit all the big tourist spots again. We'd already done that on a previous trip. So this time, we were just walking around, eating wherever looked good, and stopping in places as we came across them. And that is one of Kathy and my favorite way to travel.
We love it.
I've always liked the history side of New Orleans, including the paranormal stuff, but more in a casual way, not in a let's go hunt for ghosts kind of thing. Just enough that I recognize certain places when I see them or remember hearing about them somewhere. So one night we were out walking not too far from Bourbon Street, just that kind of drifting from one street to the next. We didn't really have a plan. It was early enough that things weren't really packed yet. There were still plenty of people around. And at some point we turned a corner and end up right in front of, and I hope I say this right, Lafitte's. It's L-A-F-I-T-T-E. Apostrophe S, Lafitte's. I'm going to guess it's French.
Sounds like it, yeah.
I recognized it right away and said something like, oh, this is that place. I told her it's one of the older bars in the city and one people always say is supposed to be haunted. Not in a serious way, just something that I had heard. That was enough. We both kind of stopped for a second, looked at it, and then said, let's go in. It just felt like something we needed to do. When we walked in, it took a second for our eyes to adjust. It's really dim in there. Not completely dark, but most of the light is from candles, so everything kind of flickers a little. There were people inside, but not many. A couple sitting off to one side, a few people at the bar. It was not crowded. You could pretty easily see where everyone was once your eyes adjusted. We went up to the bar, ordered drinks. I remember standing there for a minute waiting and just kind of looking around, taking it in. It definitely feels different than most places, but not in a way that makes you think something is wrong. And I assumed it was just because it was older. We got our drinks, stood there for a bit, kind of shifting around as people ordered and moved. And My wife ended up leaning in at the bar, talking to the bartender for a minute while I just stood off to the side. At some point, I felt something brush against my arm. Not hard, just enough to notice, and I turned right away because I figured someone had come up behind me or was trying to squeeze past me, but there wasn't anyone there. I paused for a second, looking around, expecting to see someone stepping away or moving past me, but nothing lined up. Then I glanced over, and I saw her still leaned over at the bar, talking to the bartender like she hadn't moved. And a few minutes later, it happened again. Same thing, light contact, like someone brushing past me. I turned again right away, expecting to see someone moving past me, but no one was there. That's when it started to feel a little harder to explain, but I still didn't say anything. I figured I was overreacting. We stood there for a bit longer, finishing our drinks. Then it happened one more time, but this time wasn't the same. It didn't feel like something brushed past me. It felt like someone stepped right next to me, close enough that you notice it immediately, like someone had come up beside me and was about to say something, and I turned right away, but no one was there. The guy behind me was still in the same spot talking to someone else. The people down the bar hadn't moved. No one had been in that space. That was the moment where it stopped feeling like I could explain it away. I didn't say anything to her in there, though. I don't know why. I think I was just trying to make sense of it before I said anything out loud. We finished our drinks not long after that, decided to head out. Wasn't anything big, just one of those moments, let's go. When we stepped back outside, everything felt normal again. We walked a little way down the street before I finally said something, and I told her something weird kept happening in there, that it felt like someone kept brushing past me, but every time I turned around, there wasn't anyone there. And then the last time, where it felt like someone was standing right next to me. She listened while I explained it, and she said she had been at the bar the whole time and hadn't come near me. And then she paused for a second and said something had happened to her too. She said at one point while she was talking to the bartender, she thought someone had come up right behind her. Close enough, she figured they were going to say something, so she turned around and there wasn't anybody there. She didn't think anything about it at the time because it's a bar and people move around. But once I had told her what had happened to me, it made that feel different. We didn't go back in. Nothing else happened the rest of the night. I've thought about it a few times then, mostly because it wasn't anything big or obvious. There was no voices, no things moving across a room, but it was a feeling like someone was right there. So after we got back home, I ended up looking up the place again, not in a deep dive kind of way, just out of curiosity to see if anyone else had had weird experiences there. And I came across a post from someone who described almost the exact same thing, feeling like someone was standing right next to them, turning to look, and no one was there. Anyway, there is my story. Thank you for letting me share it. I enjoy the show. I listen all the time. Michael. I do think that's interesting because that is a real distinct feeling, especially I think it happens quite a bit where we sense someone is next to us and then you turn around and there is someone next to you, you know?
Yeah.
You get
absolutely.
You know, kind of, even though you don't have eyes in the back of your head, you kind of sense when someone's right behind you. And mm-hmm. to have that feeling, especially you're in a bar, they're at the bar. So it's like, oh, someone's trying to get up to get a drink.
And people always brush past you at a bar.
Yeah.
Right. So that's not unusual, that feeling. But you do you do almost universally glance over to see who it was. And then nobody's there.
And don't you know, I would tell you 100% if we got home and that would have happened to me, I'd have been Googling it the next day. Has this mm-hmm. happened to anybody else? Because mm-hmm. we were talking about that place in Rome the other day, and I think we did that with that place.
Mm-hmm.
Like, has anybody else had paranormal experiences? And it seemed like there was. Yeah. It's been several years ago now. I don't remember, but it seemed like there was people who had had experiences.
Well, and I think that I would have, knowing me, I would have said to the bartender, so anything ever happened to you here? I would have said that.
Oh, like hell yes.
You know, us, we always were like going in there and saying, what about you? Does anything ever happen? Because, you know, somebody's got to close up at night.
I love talking to the staff. They're the ones that'll tell you all their ghost stories. They all have them.
Yeah.
I would 100% would have said something. Like, maybe he might have not wanted to be like the weird one who's thinking
the tourist. Paranormal.
Yeah. But I have no shame doing that. And you tend to get some really great stories.
That's right. And we want to share them with everybody on the show.
And maybe he doesn't have a podcast. So he's like, who wants to know?
Yeah.
But
I do. I love them.
But to me, that's not just a one-off. And so I get if it would have happened one time, I'd have been like, that was weird. It was kind of like when we were in the Eureka Springs and I kept feeling something on the back of my neck, like a bug. And then I felt that thing, whatever it was, poke me in the hand. Izzy, be quiet. But something poked me in the hand. It wasn't like it touched my hand. It was like I got poked. And then it was like, okay, maybe this is all connected.
Yeah.
Not enough that I'm going to lose sleep over any of it, but it was interesting. And I think that's kind of where he was in that. Like, this is kind of weird.
I don't know. His was pretty good, though. Because I know that feeling. You just do. Somebody walks up, you turn around and you look.
Mm-hmm. And then it happened again. And then there's somebody standing right there. But there's nobody there.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I've never been to New Orleans, but I definitely want to go.
Oh, we're going.
Okay. Not right away. I'm getting a replacement.
We'll get that. Yeah. So you can walk again.
Yeah, I want to be able to walk when I get
there. Walking is kind of like a thing that you need.
Well, let's go to this call.
This is Sam from Georgia. I've actually called in before about the apartment that I currently live in with my boyfriend and our roommate, where things just keep happening, like lights being turned on overnight when none of us had even been awake. My boyfriend saw an apparition in the middle of the night one night. Well, some more things have happened just in the last few days. There was one night where I kept hearing footsteps inside the apartment and no one was home but me and my boyfriend. We were both in the bed. So the next morning I said something to him about it and he said, yeah, I hear that all the time. One wall of my bedroom shares a wall with the hallway right outside the apartment. So when people are walking in the hallway, you can hear it, but this, you can distinguish the sound between somebody inside the apartment and somebody outside in the hallway. It's just a different noise. This just happened last night. We were the only ones home, me and my boyfriend, my roommate, and another one of his friends were out and about drinking, whatever. Well, me and my boyfriend were laying in bed watching TV, and I heard the front door open, and then I heard male voices. I mean, it was obviously men talking, and it sounded like it was coming from right outside my bedroom door, which is the living room. So I figured that my roommate and our friend was home. I walked out the door, and there was nobody in the apartment. Nobody was there. All the lights were off. I didn't see anything. They had not gotten home yet. So I just got right back into bed and watched TV until I fell asleep. I just tried to ignore it as best as I could. This next thing just happened about a half an hour ago. So I'm home alone. I'm sitting on my bedroom floor watching TV, and I decided to change clothes. I just wanted to change into some sweats. So my bedroom door is open because I was the only one home, whatever. So I take off my jeans, and I'm looking for my sweatpants. And I start hearing like a clanking or a clicking noise coming from right outside my bedroom door, which, like I said, was open. So I put on my sweats and I look out the door into the living room, and we have a ceiling fan that has really long chains, like the pull chains, to turn them on and off because our ceilings are really, really high. Like if you were walking through the living room, you would run into them if you weren't paying attention. I put on my clothes and I walk out my bedroom door into the living room, and those pull chains were swinging around like they were moving, like somebody had walked into them. So the clanking that I was hearing was them hitting each other. I checked the windows. I checked everything. There was no air movement in the apartment at all. I don't know who it was, what it was. I don't know. Maybe I've got kind of a pervert ghost in my apartment that just likes to watch me change. So that kind of creeps me out. Well, that's all I have for now. If anything else happens, I will be sure to call back. Things just seem to happen in this apartment all the time because, like I said, just when I called before, you know, an elementary school and then a high school and then it was a reform school. And this building is, I don't even know how old it is. That's all I know about it. Who knows what's in this apartment? If anything else happens, I will be sure to call back. And hopefully I will be calling back in soon. All right. Thanks, guys. Bye.
I don't want her to have a pervert ghost.
Well, I that no, I don't either.
Bad.
Okay.
That'd be the worst.
You know
kind.
How I feel about this situation. When is there any way it could be a real person?
I mean, the voices, and then she gets up and nobody's there.
No, I just worry. You know that there's somebody that's.
That there like is a pervert
in the ceiling.
Like it's not a pervert ghost, it's a pervert.
Yeah, I worry about that. Like that there's somebody that's really watching her.
Because it does sound like there's quite a few people coming and going in the apartment.
Yeah.
You know, because it kind of sounds like young and party people and maybe, you know, lots of roommates and stuff.
But I just worry about that. Like I should worry about the pervert ghost too. I mean, you know, that. I guess you know me, pervert ghost, pervert real person, pervert ghost. You know, I'm like, yeah, I don't know. It just makes me nervous that maybe there's somebody that's creeping around in this apartment complex somehow up above.
Oh, like a pervert maintenance man or something.
Yeah. I hope not. And it doesn't sound like, I mean, it does sound paranormal.
Yeah.
Like she said they've had experiences before. They heard footsteps. She swears she heard the door open, which is a very distinctive sound. You know when somebody comes home. You know. And so it's very, like I said, I just hope, you know, I don't want it to be the other thing. Though this is creepy if
yeah. It is a location and that would lend itself to being haunted because she said right. It was like a school. It was a reform school. It was this school. It was that. Like mm-hmm. It was all these things that kind of are known to sometimes be haunted.
Right.
So, I mean, it definitely has everything in place to be a haunted location.
And I'm sure they have thought all of it through, like how it could be something else. Right. You rule out this and this and this and this.
Maybe it's time for her and her boyfriend to get their own place.
You know, I'm just throwing that out. It could be one of those really good looking apartments that they redid. Oh,
I thought you were going to say it could be a really good looking boyfriend.
Well, he could be too. Don't get rid of the boyfriend.
But what does that have to do with anything?
Don't get rid of the boyfriend. But, you know me, like I like good looking apartments and I'm like, God, they maybe redid this school. It was super cool and cute with the new, like, you know, island in the kitchen.
They've done that here to several old schools and they've kind of done it in a cool way. Some of them, like some of the apartments still have the chalkboards up in them, which I think is kind of fun.
That's what I mean. Like,
they turned the gymnasium into cool gym event space. You know, it's like they've done some really fun things.
Gym that you can go use, you know. So she may not be dying to give up the apartment because it might be just super hip and cool and trendy.
There's more apartments. Is it worth it? Is it worth it?
I would ask, you know, do you know anybody else that lives there, like your neighbors and stuff? Have you, you know, do you have any sort of, you know, relationship that you can chat with them and go, anything ever happened over at your place?
Because let me tell you about my ghost.
Because I kind of got people walking around and coming home at night and talking and nothing's there.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't
I would check around. You know us, though. That's us. Like, we would be talking about it to people.
Yeah. Well, do you want to hear?
Because apparently we have no shits to give if people think we're crazy or not, I guess.
We don't, because that's what happens after a certain age. You just don't have any more shits to give. Let's do one more phone call.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Manuel. I live in Northern California in the Sacramento area. I feel almost a kinship with a lot of the people that call in. I've had paranormal experiences pretty much my whole life since I was a little kid. And I never really thought too much about them. They freaked me out, but I just thought everybody had these experiences. I didn't, you know, I thought at some point everybody has a, you know, a ghost story to tell, or they saw something that was weird. And I've been married for 30 years. And recently I had another experience about a year ago, and I was telling my wife about it, and she just kind of looked at me and said, you know, she had never had a paranormal experience of any kind. She said, there's something about you. It's not normal. Everybody doesn't have these weird experiences. Once I found your show, I thought I would call and share my most recent experience. And I'll call again because I've had things happen forever. But I was volunteering. I'm into mixed martial arts, and I was volunteering some time at a local gym teaching kids. And Wednesday nights was my MMA night. And the thing would wind up about 9:30. All the kids would be gone. And the building that we were in was kind of a warehouse type building. It was on the corner of the building, and the parking lot's behind the building. So when you leave, I'm always the last one out because, you know, we train at night. And I would pull through the gate, and it had one of those cyclone fence type gates on the wheels that you'd pull over and latch and then put a padlock on. And I would finish up on Wednesday nights, and my buddy was not there on Wednesday nights. That was my night. We would do Mondays and Tuesdays together, and then Wednesday was my night, and then he would do Thursday by himself. So Wednesday, I'm by myself, and it's got street lights over it. You know, it's not like you're in this dark wooded area or anything. It's in town. But every time I would pull past that gate and pull the gate closed, I felt like somebody was watching me. And there was a big tree on one side and the corner of the building on the other. And either by the tree or the corner of the building, I always felt like, as soon as I turned my back, like somebody was standing there. And I even went over and looked around the tree a couple times and went to the edge of the building, and the building's a block long, and it was closed at that time. So there's no doors open where anybody could duck into. I never saw anybody or anything, but I always had that creepy feeling. So one night, when I was helping my buddy, I think it was a Tuesday night, we got out of there a little late, and we were standing outside, the building talking, just, you know, kind of bullshitting by the car, talking about what we had done that night. And I told him, I said, you know, I said, every time I pull through that gate, I get this creepy feeling that somebody's watching me. And it was funny because he had this shocked look on his face, and he told me that he had the same experience. And in fact, one night he said he closed the gate and he spun around and he saw what looked like, I don't know if it was a shadow person, but a dark silhouette kind of pull its head back from the building. And it was only about 10 feet to the corner of the building. So he said he ran up and there was nothing there. So we're standing outside talking about this, and I'm kind of used to it, I guess, but he's getting freaked out. And right at that moment, it's a dead end street, and we're up towards the front of the street, and the street goes back about two blocks, and then you have to turn around. It's dead ends into a little cul-de-sac. And the street lights started to go out at the end of the street while we're talking about this. And I look down and I see the street light, and they're coming towards us. They're going off in succession, coming toward us. And he is flipping out. His eyes are big around his silver dollars, and he's watching. And then he started to freak me out. And then when they got to us, the building lights, they were halogen lights outside. They weren't connected to the street lights at all. They were on the building. They flickered and went out. And it was just the creepiest. I don't know. It was almost like an acknowledgement of whatever presence we had been both feeling. It was letting us know it was there. But I tell you, I never looked forward to Wednesday nights when I would leave there by myself, because every single time I pulled that gate closed, there was something. It felt like there was something watching me. And that's the most recent experience I've had. Had many more, and I'll call back.
You know, that's another thing, like the first story, how we were talking about how you can feel somebody right behind you, right next to you. And that whole being watched thing is something I can't explain, but I have experienced. I don't know who's watching me. I don't know where they are, but I know they're there. And that's a weird feeling.
And it was horrible in the house we grew up in.
Very bad.
It was just absolutely terrible there. What do you think about the flickering light business?
It was kind of like a little bit of an explanation or exclamation point on the whole thing. It was just like almost like the proof you needed.
Yeah.
Or the like that was all you needed to know. Yeah, that's real.
And, you know, if it was like, say, a power outage or something, they all go off. They don't just go one at a time down the street and then, you know, to the building or whatever. So that is pretty weird. And, you know, I have to say that he is right that not everybody has these experiences. I don't know whether you say it's 50-50, but there's a lot of people that do. But people that don't have them, don't feel them, absolutely can't relate.
Right.
Like there's just nothing in there that relates until something happens sometime that they might run into it. But we are here for you.
Man,
because we truly believe you.
I get it.
Yeah.
I get it. And it's like, and it wasn't just a one night thing. It was like every night they had to, at the end of the night, it would feel like that.
You know, I used to have this thing where I worked in a museum and sometimes I would have to lock up by myself for whatever reasons. And I could not run through that place fast enough.
Well, and it had a lot of creepy dolls.
It had creepy dolls everywhere. And artifacts, mirrors, you name it. Everything was in this place. And I could not get out of there fast enough by myself. I always felt like something was there watching me.
And you worked there quite a while.
Yeah, I did. A couple years. Yeah, 2-3 years.
Yeah, that would be creepy. And it was like somebody's collection of old shit, too.
Ugh.
What was the name of that museum?
It's the Prairie Museum of Art and History in Colby, Kansas, but it's a home of the Kuska collection.
That's right. I hadn't thought of that in years.
And they had like 2,500 dolls or something.
A lot of dolls. That's all I remember. I couldn't remember the name of it or anything like that. It had dolls. I just remember.
It had dolls. Lots and lots of dolls. But, you know, there were objects in there that I know had something attached to
100%. Absolutely.
You know, so man, I would tell you, when I was there by myself, oh boy, it was scary. Let's just put it that way.
Well, if you have a real ghost story and you want to share it with everybody, please do that. You can call it in at 855-853-4802. Write it down. Go to realghoststoriesonline.com. And you can always become a premium subscriber anytime you'd like. No commercials, advanced episodes, access to the archive. Sign up through Apple Podcasts or sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thank you very much for listening.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks. Like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more.
That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details. Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.